Here you sing again, Sister Mindy. Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Judges, chapter 6. Judges, chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. In case you've been anxiously trying to get out of chapter 6, well, today's it. We'll get out of chapter 6 today. But there's a lot of interesting things that happened in the life of Gideon, and I don't want us to miss anything if we can help it. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read Judges chapter 6, verses 33 through 40. Begin reading in verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be upon the fleece, only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it be now dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May we learn much from this today, Lord. May we see lost souls saved and people coming to get closer to you. And when we leave here today, may we say it's been good to be in your house. He sings in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. An update since our praises and prayer requests this morning. Brother Paul Green informed me that Sister Crystal's niece Tucker, nephew, is much better today and is bouncing off the walls there in the hospital. So we praise the Lord for that. Our sermon today in the times of the judges, the sign of the fleece. The sign of the fleece. In the sermon today, we will discover a great spiritual lesson that Gideon did from which we can learn. First of all, we need to discuss what a fleece is. A fleece is not like something you go to Old Navy and buy. It's made of fleece, which you're thinking of, something like fleece jackets and so on and so forth. Well, it's made from fleece. That's why it's called that. Fleece is the wool shorn from a sheep. In ancient times, more so than today, sheep were used for a variety of purposes. Sacrifice was number one. Then clothing from the wool from the sheep. Leather from the skin. Their milk, and of course, their meat. I don't know if you've ever actually witnessed a sheep being shorn. That means cutting all the hair off of it. The sheep actually don't mind it because it makes them feel a whole lot better. Most farmers in America, they do it once a year. Some do it more than that for show purposes, but if you're just getting the wool to make it into fabric, they do it once a year. Because the sheep, if you let it get too far to hand, they'll be miserable with all that wool on them. And it looks like that when you shear those sheep or have them shorn, you can see their skin, but it looks like all that's coming off in one piece. It's really not. All that hair is not, but all of the thickness of the fibers of the wool, and on top of that, you've got a certain oil product called lanolin that's in there. Does any of you ladies know what lanolin is? That's in your hand cream and your face cream. That's that make your skin look real good. Yeah, that comes from sheep, if you didn't know that. Well, anywho, before that wool is processed, what's there is fleece. And so in ancient times, they didn't have the modern technology that we have and getting it processed. Even though they did process it, would just take longer. Beside all that, a lot of times they would take those blankets of fleece and make it to a garment and wear just kind of shaggy looking sheet that you wear on your back, kind of what it looked like, but it kept them warm. Oddly enough, fleece can both retain water and absorb it. Isn't that odd? It can do both. But the great insulator, especially when it's real cold outside, that's why a lot of people who live in colder environments have wool coats. My first point today is that the call to battle. In all the sermon today, we will see what Gideon did with the fleece that he had. In verse 33, the grand army of the coalition of the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the children of the east were camped in the valley of Jezreel. The Midianites and the Amalekites had come from the south to camp here. We've already discussed them from last week, but just to recap, that these were distant cousins, all of them were really. But the Midianites and Amalekites, they gathered together against a common enemy, Israel. If you remember from last week, that they had gone through and they had destroyed all their crops right before the harvest and burned it to a crisp. And it was a big deal because not only did the animals not have anything to eat that they raised, but they didn't have any vegetables as well. So it was a big food shortage altogether, and they were greatly displeased. And then what did they do? Of course, they cried out to God to have mercy on them. And God sent a prophet and said, "This is why you're being punished. You're being punished because you're worshiping these false gods that these people do. And you're doing horrific things with that. That's why I'm angry with you. Have you got the picture yet, Israel?" Well, then he called Gideon, and Gideon was not too happy with God when he called him, because he was like, "Well, if you're really God and you really are who you say you are, then why have you allowed all these bad things to happen?" You know, the world thinks the same thing sometimes, referring to God. If God is really in existence, they say, "Well, if God is really who you say that he is, then why would he allow all this to happen?" Well, you know what? God answers that in his word. He does. The whole reason that was happening to Israel is because of punishment for their sins. And sometimes things happen bad in this world because of the effects of sin. But it's all because of the free will of man, the choices that are made. And guess what? We suffer the consequences, not just of our own actions, but for other people's actions as well. Well, now the Midianites, the Amalekites have come up right here in the Jezreel Valley and set up camp. And then you have another group. It says the children of the east. This was probably the Mesopotamians, by the way. And even though these were three separate countries and three separate cultures, they all had one enemy in common, Israel. And they all wanted the land. So they all came here, this grand big army and a grand coalition. Y'all need to remember all this stuff for next week, okay? All right? So we're off to go into some great details next week. And if you want to see what happens next week, we'll make sure you come to church. So now, here in the Valley of Jezreel. Now, I wish I had more time to go into it this evening. But the Valley of Jezreel is located in the southern region of Galilee, and between Mount Carmel and the lower mountains of Galilee. It is the most fertile place on earth, right here in the Jezreel Valley. But you may know it by a different name. It is known as the Valley of Armageddon, which is where the last battle on earth will occur. But we will discuss this valley further when we discuss the battle Gideon did later on in the series. Now, I'm not going to discuss the Valley of Armageddon, but there are some very interesting things when you look at the Jezreel Valley. And I might bring some pictures from Israel and show you the Jezreel Valley when we do that part. But it's very neat, most fertile place on earth. So why in the world were all this big grand army of all the Amalekites and the children of the east and the Midianites here, why were they here in this great big old fertile valley, I mean, that they used for for farming and for all their crops and so on and so forth. Well, the reason they were gathered here is so they could prevent the Israelites growing future crops. Remember, they already destroyed one crop. They were preventing them from doing another, and they were also there to bully them. That's why they were there. Well, in verse 34 and 35, the Holy Spirit moved upon Gideon to rally together men from a few tribes to form an army. We see here where Gideon blew a trumpet for his people to gather unto him. The trumpet that he blew was actually a ram's horn called a shofar. When we get to the big battle that Gideon did with the men and they blew the trumpets, I'm going to bring my shofar and let you see that if you haven't seen it before. You bring yours too? Wonderful. Yes, they're just big ram horns, and they make loud noises, which is the whole purpose of it. So there's actually nothing deeply spiritual about him blowing his horn. But it would definitely get people's attention to him. A lot of people want to look at the shofar, or the trumpet, as they called it there in the Old Testament, and try to find some deep spiritual things, and it wasn't anything deeply spiritual about it, y'all. It's just a ram's horn that they blew. All right? It served many purposes, but here it served its purpose of getting people's attention. When you think if you're out in a crowd and you heard a big old horn blow, wouldn't it get your attention? Well, yeah, it would. Absolutely. So it got people's attention. And the Abizarites were the first ones to come to Gideon. Well, what was so significant about them? Well, even though they were part of the tribe of Manasseh, but this was Gideon's people. That would be like me gathering all I could from the Eldorado area and call them Eldoridians or whatever we're called around here. I don't know, maybe you who are more politics can tell me the proper name of the citizens of Eldorado, but I'm going to call them Eldoridians this morning. Do what? Okay. Anyway, he quickly gathered those guys together because he knew them. You know, he'd go call on them, you know, that little Hebrew boy down the road who was ready to fight at a moment's notice. He'd go call on his daddy and his brothers and so on and so forth, and they'd rally up cousins and let's get rid of these bad guys, all right? We got to defend our homes, protect our women, protect our children. Woo, man, that's right, Gideon, let's go. Well, after his own people had an army, he sent word to the rest of the neighboring tribes. He started off with his own tribe of Manasseh, who came to the aid of their fellow tribesmen. That's almost like, you know, I don't know how else to explain it, but it's like, you know, we all have family members that we're not too proud of. I'm just being honest, everybody's got them in their families, okay? You may be one of them, I don't know. but it's almost like, okay, you're going to mess with my family? You're not messing with my family. I don't care how good or bad they are, you're not messing with my family. These fellow tribesmen of Manasseh, they say, we're going to all bond together. We're going to defeat the common enemy. The enemy is of Israel. Well, when that happened, then word was sent to Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. And they were all border tribes. Like, well, that's our fellow kinsmen. That's our own people. That's our own nation. We're going to defend it just like they are. Soon, Gideon had a big army himself. Spoiler alert, God would dwindle that army down to prove how mighty he was. But that's a different story. So now, Gideon, through the Holy Spirit of God, was able to gather all these men to an army. That brings me to my next point this morning, the wet fleece. The wet fleece, verses 36 through 38. In verse 36, before Gideon led this new army into battle, he wanted to make sure he was doing the will of God. Now, and last week we saw where when God called Gideon, he said, I have made you mighty, Gideon. You are going to lead the army of Israel and you're going to defeat the enemies. And one of the first things that Gideon did was that night when he was called, He destroyed the altar of Baal and Ashtaroth, the king and queen of the gods. And even though he wasn't too popular with those there, his daddy helped set up straight, which, odd enough, those belonged to his daddy. But it was a wake-up call he needed, apparently. Then Gideon's following through what the Lord's told him to do, and then we get to this crucial spot in Gideon's life. You've got the men. Now you're supposed to go into battle against this huge, big army. Now, many people might criticize Gideon for doing such a thing. He says in verse 36, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said," in other words, "Lord, I know you've told me to do this, but..." People would criticize, I hear all the time, Gideon for doing this, but you know what? I can't criticize Gideon. I can't. I really can't. Because I'm human, y'all. You were here on Wednesday night. I even pointed that out and how I know God's going to do something, but I'll, you know, say this. Well, I even shouldn't do that. Yes, I know. But Gideon was here, and he was asking God to do something to make sure he was doing the will of the Lord. Unless your faith is extremely strong, you might want to make sure you are in the Lord's will before going out and doing a dangerous thing like he was. This was literally life or death here. And he wanted to make sure that he was not only in the will of God, but that he was doing the will of God. We should allow God to prove himself through us. And that is very important. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 declares unto us, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Y'all, if we allow God to move in us, he can use us to prove him. That's a big deal, y'all. That's a really big deal. And then in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 4, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." Y'all, people look at us. No matter what you want to believe, people look at us. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you do. Be careful where you go, because people are always watching. God is always watching you regardless of what you do, whether things are in private or in public. When you're out and about, people look at you. Whether you want to admit it or not, they do. Let your works prove God. So it says to people, God is with that person, or with that brother, with that sister, so on and so forth. Verse 37, Gideon had a specific thing he wanted God to do to prove his will. Gideon was going to put the fleece on the ground that evening. And when he would go to it the next morning, if it were God's will, the fleece would be soaking wet with the dew, but the ground would be dry. Now, this would definitely be a miracle, because when the dew falls outside, everything gets wet no matter where it is. Now, if you have your car under a carport, it won't get wet. But if it's out in the open to the elements, I mean, you just try it. Get up early enough in the morning. Go outside sometime before 10 a.m. That's early enough in the morning. It's okay, y'all. And you'll see the dew on the ground. That little wet stuff all over the grass and all over the road. So that's dew. And you know that you leave something outside that night, the dew will fall on the next morning. It'll be soaking wet. Well, the ability to make the fleece wet and the ground not would only be an act of God. God was the only thing, the only entity ever that could make it where Gideon would wake up in the morning, go outside, look at the ground and look at the fleece and say, the ground is soaking, is not soaking wet, it's dry as a bone. But that fleece, it's got dew all over it. Only God could do that. And if you're hearing this morning saying, well, what's the big deal? That's a pretty big deal. Nature can't do that on its own. God has to intervene. Man can't do that. Only God can do that. So, verse 38, lo and behold, when Gideon woke up the next morning, he found the fleece wet with dew and the ground dry. Now, remember what he asked God to do. He said, if it's your will, if it is your will. What was God's will? For him to lead the army of Israel into battle and defeat the enemies. And God said it was possible for Gideon to do it single-handedly. He said, if this is your will, Lord, then let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Lo and behold, he wakes up. Must be God's will. That ground's dry and that fleece is wet. The fleece was so wet, he was able to wring a bowl full of water out of it. Now remember what I told you a while ago. Oddly enough, wool can both repel and absorb water. It didn't get past the repelling point. It got all absorbed. Man, a lot of water, bowl full of water. Well, my next point this morning, the dry fleece, verses 39 and 40. In verse 39, Gideon asked for a sign once again from the Lord. He asked that God's anger would not be hot against him. Gideon said, God, in verse 39, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. Gideon was, in Daniel Clark's opinion, that's all it's worth, smart to ask God not to be angry with him. Because he already asked God to prove his will one time, and God proved it to him. Pretty clear, Gideon. Pretty clear. You asked for God for his will to be done, and if it were his will, let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. Well, that's what happened. Must be God's will. But Gideon said, Lord, if you would, one more time, and please don't be angry with me, would you do this? The wording here in English and Hebrew, when he uses the word, the anger be hot against him, describes the worst possible anger someone may have. When you've reached the point of being hot angry with somebody, that's the worst possible anger someone can have. And he was asking that God would not be that way toward him. Yeah? Why? Because I'm going to ask you to do one more thing, God, to prove if you really want me to do this. Gideon was asking that God's anger would not reach that point because he wanted to make doubly sure that he was doing God's will. But you know what? All of this was a way to test, reinforce, and strengthen Gideon's faith. You know, sometimes we need obstacles that require us using our faith. We do. We need that in our life sometimes. You say, well, Brother Daniel, I don't like that. Well, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. I'm just telling you, your faith can be strengthened when you use your faith. Like, how do you expect to strengthen your muscles if you never use them? How do you expect your faith to be strengthened if you never use your faith? That's why God allows obstacles to come into our life and trials and tribulations so that our faith can be tested. And if we pass the test, guess what? Our faith is stronger as a result. Well, guess what? Gideon didn't have this growing up. He didn't. He didn't have that type of faith that he needed to have. But you know what? He was allowing and asking God to help him with that. He wanted God to do the opposite from the day before. He wanted the next day for the dew to be on the ground, but not on the fleece. Again, something that was impossible, but only that something that God could do. And in verse 40, lo and behold, when Gideon awoke the next morning, he found the fleece dry and the ground wet. Again, this was only something God could do. Gideon knew that. He knew that God could only do this. And if anyone needed lots of proof, he now had it. Because when Gideon would, in a scenario here, not necessarily this is what happened, but let's say that Gideon, he goes to his army and said, okay, here's the plan, here's what we're going to do. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. Hey, Gideon, how do you know God's in this? Well, God led me. That's not good enough. I need proof. All right, here's your proof. Because I wanted to make sure too. I asked God on one day to make the ground wet and the fleece dry, and he did it. And the day before, he made the ground dry and the fleece wet. Y'all, only God can do that. All the proof I need, get him, let's go. In conclusion, what can we learn from all of this? When trying to figure out God's will, be specific in your prayers how God can show you a sign to see if it's God's will or not. Please understand that miracles do not happen anymore, but God can still do things to prove His will in our lives. We need to be very specific in our prayers. If we know the will of the Lord, that's great, but not everybody has great faith. And even sometimes people who have great faith, their faith is still tested. And so, when you're wanting to know the will of the Lord in something, be specific in your prayers. A lot of people will pray something to this effect, Lord, just make it clear to me. Well, that's all good, but make it specific like Gideon did. I'll tell you one little bitty one. For me, personally, when it was God's will that I would come here, some of y'all know that I was already being examined by another church during the time. And I told y'all, I said, we'll just have to wait and see what the other church plays out first. And I began to pray immediately, Lord, if it's your will, I go to El Dorado, close the door I'm currently in. That's pretty specific. Here I am. God shut that door. Before we came here, we lived in Oklahoma. And before we moved there, I was praying about it. I said, Lord, if it's your will for me to go to Oklahoma, me and my family moved to a different state, might as well be in a different country. And I said, Lord, you close all the doors here and you open all the doors there. And that's exactly what he did. We sold our house just like that. And off we went. It's hard to sell a house that fast, especially, no offense to anybody, especially a single-wide trailer. Because God was in it, and it was His will, it happened. But I knew if God didn't want it to happen, it had made very clear in what I prayed specifically to happen. Now again, miracles aren't going to happen. You're not going to have the fleece be dry and the ground be wet, like Gideon was. Nothing miraculous is going to happen, but God can still prove His will in your life if you're unsure of the will of the Lord. Oh, and by the way, if it's pertaining to God's Word always is His will. Always His will, no matter what. Don't be afraid to ask God to move in your life so your faith can be strengthened. And that's exactly what happened with Gideon. And y'all, don't be afraid to ask God to move in your life. So that not only you can see the will and know the will of the Lord, but your faith can be strengthened and you can be a great witness and a great servant of the Lord as a result. But I'll tell you where it won't happen. It won't happen just sitting there in the pew and doing nothing. It won't happen just being comfortable where you are in life. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. And that's what people don't like to do. They like their comfort zone. When I was a music minister, I would sometimes tell our pianist and organist, okay, we're going to get out of our little box today. We've got to get out of that comfort zone. And the organist would say, I really like my box, Brother Daniel. It's very comfortable here. I don't like to get out of it. It's too stressful outside of that box. Well, yes, but we'll never get any better for the Lord if we don't do that. And guess what? When we do that, and God strengthens our faith and uses us more because we've made ourselves useful for the Lord, we have a new comfort zone that's different than what it used to be. How about that? Do you think that Gideon looked forward to doing this when he was a kid? No, he didn't. He didn't have a clue what God had in store for him. But you know what? He was willing after the Lord made it clear to him, this is what you need to do. I'm thankful for stories like this in the Bible because that helps me. See, as much as the world wants to tell you, the Bible is not about fairy tales. They're not legends. They're not myths. They're real. They really happened. And they think, well, you know, these great men of the Bible, they just got up and went and did it. Not all of them. There's a few more in the Bible that were some pretty big stinkers too. But we'll get to that later. But I'm thankful for Gideon for saying, you know what, Lord, I really want to make sure this is your will. I mean, I really, really, really want to make sure this is your will. Why was Gideon that adamant? Because he knew how dangerous it could be to not be in the will of God. And I think that's a problem with Christians today, is that they don't have a fear of being out of the will of God. That's a dangerous place to be, y'all. When you're not living in God's will, you're not doing what He's told us to do and what not to do, and being in His service and serving Him through His local New Testament church, y'all, that's a dangerous place to be. But when you have that fear of God, you're already on the right track of using your faith. Because God deserves every ounce of respect that we can give plus more. Where are you in your walk today with the Lord? Does your faith need to be strengthened like Gideon's did? Do you need to have a greater fear of the Lord in serving Him and remembering where you need to be? And you know where you are, and you ought not to be there, and ask God to help you strengthen your faith to get out of that and get back in the will of God. God can help you with all that today if you let Him. All you got to do is ask. What Gideon did. I tell you this one thing. If you haven't learned anything else, Gideon asked for God to not be angry with him. If you're afraid to ask God something today, y'all, it's better to ask God for His will in your life than to live outside the will of God. That's where God is most angry with you, when you don't live in His will. So I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart today to do what's right for Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You now and we thank You for allowing us to be here today. Thank You for this great story of faith from Gideon. And I pray, Lord, that for those who have unanswered questions in their life about living their life for You, You would make it very clear to them today. If they're lost, may they realize at this very point in this service that they have no peace. They have no hope. They have nothing good except the fear of death and the fear of hell, because that is what awaits them in their lost condition. And then they realize that they can have peace. They can have hope. They can have good things and have heaven when they die because of Jesus Christ, that they would simply put their faith and trust in Him. For those who are saved this morning, but they're living outside of your will. Their service to you is lazy. Their attendance to your services are not as faithful as they should be. Lord, move upon their hearts, make it clear to them today that they need to get their lives right with you. And I pray for those who are struggling today with some things that you've put in their life that they want to know what is your will. I pray, Lord, that doors would be open and closed so they would know what they need to do for you and your will. Bless this time of invitation. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand?